NATO allies call it hybrid warfare, under sanctions Belarus getting back at the EU by enticing migrants with tourist visas and cheap flights before encouraging them to embark on a one-way journey to the border. Monday, it escalated with several notches with a new scale of seemingly orchestrated movement from Minsk. How did those migrants get there? What are conditions as they head into a third night in the cold? Brussels has in the past called out Warsaw for refusing its quota of refugees and refusing the framework of common EU border protection. This time, though, it's squarely behind Poland and neighboring Lithuania. So, to this hybrid warfare, a militarized solution, more guards caught in the middle, of course, are those migrants who mostly their goal is to seek asylum in Germany. And what about Belarus strongman Alexander Lukashenko? His fight for political survival includes the tactic of what was dubbed in the Soviet era, making mischief. Can this escalate, though, into something bigger? Is he his own man? Or, as Poland claims, is Moscow the mastermind? Either way, it's a challenge to Europe. Just how big a challenge? Well, today in the France 24 debate, we're asking about Belarus playing the migrant card with us. He was a spokesperson in Soviet times for the Solidarity Movement. He served twice as Poland's defense minister. Janusz Oniewski is former vice president of the European Parliament. Thank you for joining us from Warsaw.
Well, thank you for having me.
From Brussels, Viola von Kramon-Taubedel is a German member of the European Parliament from the Green Party. Welcome.
Hello, good evening.
And with us here in the studio, Jacques Rupnik, director of research at the French Political Science Institute's Sciences Po. Good to see you. The France 24 debate, where you can join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, hashtag F24debate. Now, as the EU ponders new sanctions against Belarus and Brussels contemplates financing Poland's border reinforcement, migrants remain stuck and the mercury is once again plummeting for a third night. France 24 correspondent Gulliver Cragg reported earlier from the border and told us how some of those migrants are making it through.
Prevent the attempt to cross the border en masse near the Kuznitsa crossing point, a couple of hours' drive north of here. Smaller groups of migrants are still crossing the border, and perhaps not even in such small groups either. According to one resident of Hainovka, where I am now, the local border guard told him that they had managed to stop some 250 people from crossing overnight, but he says that all 250 of them weren't prevented from entering Poland, and some of them are now hiding in the woods. It's definitely true that there are small groups of migrants hiding in the woods in this region. I was able to speak very briefly to a couple of them this afternoon, but only briefly because they became immediately afraid when they saw my camera. They said that they wanted absolutely to go to Germany and to avoid the Polish border guard. Humanitarian workers tell us that more and more migrants are refusing to ask for asylum in Poland because they know that Poland has officialized a policy of pushbacks, so their chances for getting their asylum considerations considered are not very high, even if they might have valid grounds for applying for asylum. So that means that they are really risking their lives by staying in the freezing woods around here. And lots of people in Poland are extremely concerned about this humanitarian situation. But the Polish government says that this is the only way to dissuade Alexander Lukashenko and make him stop bringing the migrants to Belarus and sending them across the border under the false illusions that they're going to have an easy passage to the European Union.
Gulliver Cragg, who's making his way to the capital, and we'll be hearing from him live in a short while. Janusz Oniewski, what is your reaction when you hear about those migrants making it through and then playing hide and seek with Polish border guards and police?
Well, I really feel pity for them, because they were simply made to understand that, you know, it is rather easy to go across the border, that everybody would welcome them, that, you know, everybody is waiting them. There is no problem. It is kind of a propaganda on Belarusian side to bring them into Belarus. They are flying with probably one-way ticket. The flights are organized. There are about 50 flights a month, a week, from Middle East to Belarus. So there are masses of potential migrants in Belarus. who are pushed to the border, just to sort of trouble, make bigger trouble for European Union. I think that the reason why it is happening is why Lukashenko treats the migrants as kind of a weapon. Is that first he wants to have a revenge on Poland and the European Union for sanctions. He also wants to create a certain impression of external danger to solidify his position in the country. And thirdly, and I think this is probably most dangerous goal if it will be really finally, if it will materialize, is to provoke Poland to bring in more troops to the border, to make an impression that the Polish troops are sort of massing on the border, and this would justify some measures from Russian and Belarusian side. For example, the result of this whole operation could be a permanent stationing of Russian troops on Belarusian soil. I remember I had a talk about 2 weeks ago with one Belarus general who claimed that are already across the border on Polish side, tanks, artillery, and heavy armed, massive concentration of troops, which might be used, as I said before, as kind of a justification for some implementation of Russian troops to Belarus.
Jacques Rutnik, a lot was made this Wednesday of Russian fighter planes doing a flyover over Belarus. It's been seen as the Kremlin announced it. It's seen as an act of solidarity with Minsk. Is this the prelude, as you heard Janusz Onietzki say, to a permanent stationing of troops at Poland's border, of Russian troops?
Well, we're not there yet, and clearly Russia is using the Lukashenko regime for its own purpose. But I don't think Russia has an interest into things getting out of hand. If it could be a tool to station troops permanently in Belarus as a result of this crisis, maybe they will take that. But I don't see them going to the brink on the border. But it is very useful to use the Belarusian proxy to try to destabilize a country which is member of the European Union, to hurt the European Union on a subject where public opinion is, to put it mildly, divided. In fact, it is overwhelmingly hostile. There is a minority of people who thinks that welcoming refugees was a good thing in 2015. This time is different. And incidentally, Poland and the countries of Central Europe in 2015 opposed the European Union on the idea of sharing or having a shared approach to the refugee crisis. This time, it managed to reverse the situation. That is, Poland is being tough, it's blocking, it's creating a fence on its border, it's sending the troops, and it's getting the endorsement of the European Union. Complete reversal of role. And so from the point of view of the Polish regime, this is great news. The use for Lukashenko is being used by Putin, but the crisis can also be used by the Polish regime in two ways. Very difficult for Polish opposition, which has been challenging the authoritarian government of Mr. Kaczynski. Very difficult for the Polish opposition to start defending the idea that we should open our borders. This is not a popular subject. You're on a losing ground. Secondly, you've been under the scrutiny of the European Union for the rule of law and the whole debate about the primacy of European law over Polish law in the European Union. This has been the recent fight over rule of law. And you shift the focus from the rule of law controversy to the migrant issue, and you get the endorsement of the EU, and you'll get back to the rule of law issue later when the storm has blown over. So I think from the point of view of the Polish government, the longer this crisis lasts, the better.
Yeah, I want to get Viola von Kramon-Taubadel's reaction to all of this. But first, let's get some context. It was just 3 weeks ago that Poland was being chastised and singled out at an EU summit. Warsaw rebuffing calls over rule of law, safeguards, as Jacques Rupnik was mentioning. Now, the European Council president showing up as an ally. Jenna Lee has more.
EU leaders and member state Poland are showing a rare united front against what they're describing as a deliberate attack.
I came to Poland today to express solidarity of the whole EU vis-à-vis Poland. We're facing a hybrid, brutal, violent, an unworthy attack.
Brussels and Warsaw accuse Minsk of ferrying migrants to the Polish border, this in retaliation to European sanctions against Belarus.
What we are facing here, we must be clear, is a manifestation of state terrorism. That's what we call it. This is Lukashenko's quiet revenge for the fact that we supported democratic elections.
Poland has also suggested that Russia's Vladimir Putin is the one pulling the strings behind this latest crisis, claims that Moscow denies. Russia did, though, send nuclear-capable bombers to help patrol Belarusian airspace. The EU's Ursula von der Leyen confirmed the bloc's desire to expand sanctions against Minsk and added that the situation isn't so much about a migrant crisis, but an attempt at destabilizing EU member states. On the ground, thousands of people wait behind barbed wire, stuck between Poland and Belarus, sometimes in sub-zero temperatures. At least 10 migrants have died in the border region. Aid workers fear fatalities will continue to rise.
Viola von Kramon-Taubadel, did Charles Michel do the right thing by traveling to Warsaw this Wednesday?
Sorry, could you repeat your question once again? It's very loud here. Sorry.
Okay, did Charles Michel do the right thing by traveling to Warsaw this Wednesday?
Well, I think he is going to travel, and the only thing we can do is try to unite the European Union on this topic once again. Of course, things went in the complete wrong direction. Lukashenko has shown to us the weakness of the migration and asylum system, that's for sure. And of course, it is also true what my colleagues have said before, that is all a revanche after the sanction, especially after hijacking of the plane of Lukashenko, then the upcoming summit at the 24th of May were pretty decisive and put tough sanctions in place, and after this, the plan was obviously developed together with the Kremlin to think about how to destabilize some member states in the European Union. That's very obvious. But of course, we are speaking about people, people in need, people who look for a better life, and many of them are refugees from Afghanistan and Syria. And we have to make sure that we uphold the European values also at the external border of Poland and Lithuania. And therefore, I hope that Charles Michel can achieve any kind of a cooperative approach together with the Polish government to make sure that we have a humanitarian approach also at the external borders on the east of the European border. I fully agree that the conduction and the conduct of the invitation to Belarus is, let's say, a plan which is mainly coming from Moscow, from the Kremlin. There's no question about that. But nevertheless, we speak about people. We speak about people dying at the external border in the forest. And this is something we really have to prevent. There is the credibility of the European Union also in danger, and we really should come up with a more comprehensive approach than just building walls or barbed wires on our external borders.
Well, the refugees say they want to go to Germany. Should they be, the migrants say they should want to go? They want to go to Germany. Should they be allowed to go to Germany?
I think we have to find a system where we find ways how to distribute migrants, and also, of course, many of them have relatives and friends and connections in some of the member states, and for them it is pretty easy to connect and to integrate in our societies, and I hope this, we do not speak about big numbers. We speak about a couple of thousands in the end. And I think the European Union will manage to find ways how to integrate them. Yes, and I know many of them would also like to go to Germany. And so far, I think we speak about 4,000 people who have arrived since this, let's say, invitation program of Lukashenko has begun. I hope we will manage to find proper ways to accommodate them, to give them work, to offer them a decent life. This is what people expect, and this is what normally works very well when we look at the developments in 2015.
All right, when we come back, we'll ask more about this and about whether here we're dealing with Belarus or with Moscow. Stay with us. You're watching the France 24 debate. Welcome back, or welcome if you're just joining us. It's the France 24 debate, and we're looking at the escalation between Belarus and the EU, what with migrants enticed to come and then sent towards the border in larger numbers. With us, Janusz Oniszkiewicz, the former Polish defense minister, also former vice president of the European Parliament, who joins us from Warsaw. Welcome back as well to Viola von Kramon-Taubadel, who joins us from Brussels, German member of the European Parliament from the Greens. We're in the company of Jacques Rupnik, who teaches at the French Political Science Institute, Sciences Po, and France 24 correspondent Gulliver Cragg, who's been reporting at the border, joins us now. Gulliver, tell us where you are.
I'm in Minsk, Mazowiecki, actually, on my way from the eastern border region to Warsaw, but my train developed a fault, so I got off here in Minsk, Mazowiecki. I haven't quite made it to Warsaw yet.
All right. We'll follow your journey. Just before we get to you, Gulliver, Jacques Rupnik, a quick word on what we were talking about just before the break. You talked about public opinion in 2021 is not public opinion in 2015 when a wave of migrants came into Europe.
Yes, I mean in 2015 we had Europe divided on this, and more or less the simplified picture was the East Europeans were firmly against taking any migrants, and actually they were not getting any. And West Europeans, and particularly the Germans, took the bulk of it. Germany took a million migrants. So this was a stark contrast. This time, the situation is different because the migrant issue has, I think, been connected with the rise of nationalist and populist movements in the whole of Europe. It is affecting the politics of member state countries, not just Eastern Europe. And therefore, the policy of the European Union has also adjusting, I think, to that fact. And so I think it is very striking to see the chair of the European Council in Poland today giving support to the Polish government in protecting a fence which was being denounced in 2015 on the Hungarian border with Serbia. So this is, I think, we've traveled.
And EU financing for it was denounced 3 weeks ago by the European Commission president.
Well, Poland doesn't want EU interference in its handling of the crisis. So this is interesting. It says who enters the territory of Poland is a matter of the sovereign decision of the Polish government. So they don't want any interference if you want to give us support, applaud what we do, even provide... But we don't want Frontex, the EU institution in charge of protecting border. We don't want Frontex meddling in this. We are in charge. And this is interesting because a sovereignty issue is what the Polish government is pushing and is getting now the support of the European Union for a sovereignty position, whereas the sovereignty issue on the rule of law was a very contentious issue only a week ago when the same Prime Minister Morawiecki was in the European Parliament saying EU is talking to us like somebody who is putting a gun on your head. So, in 1 week we have seen a reversal on the sovereignty issue.
Janusz Onyszkiewicz, did you see this coming, this reversal that Jacques Rupnik is describing?
Well, I think Jacques Rupnik is quite right. I think that the problem we have in Poland is very serious. And has happened this gesture made.
All right, we seem to be losing a little bit. The connection there seems to be cutting out a bit. Apologies for that. We're going to try to cross back as quickly as possible to Warsaw. Gulliver Cragg, at this point in time, this newfound solidarity with Warsaw, this week-old solidarity, the way Jacques Rupnik describes it, how do Poles feel about it?
Well, it, of course, depends on which Poles you're talking to, because Poland is so divided between supporters of the ruling Peace Party and those who are against it. I think that... there is a certain amount of I told you so that you hear on the streets of certain Polish towns, certain people that you talked to this morning in Sokółka, when I was telling people that I was from France, and I mean from French television, and asking them what they thought about this migrant situation. You know, several people said, well, we don't want to be like France. You know, they've got a vision of France as being sort of overrun by migrants, of the French people having been culturally overrun. This is particularly what you hear from people who haven't perhaps been to France themselves, but it's very much the message articulated by Polish state TV. And with the European Union and now seeming to have less of a different attitude, if you like, to the migrant issue than it maybe had in 2015. These people have a feeling of, I told you so. I think people who are against the ruling Peace Party for all sorts of reasons, particularly the rule of law and so many other socio-cultural issues that we know about, are rather despairing about the fact that its popularity has been seen to increase so significantly since the start of the arrival of these migrants trying to cross over from Belarus.
Yeah, so some making unintended consequences from all of this. And what is also interesting is Belarus's president himself being quite open about his strategy. He gave an interview to a Russian journalist on Tuesday, and Alexander Lukashenko spelling out his logic in this standoff.
You imposed sanctions against me, against Belarusians. You went for a hybrid war against Belarus. Look at the media, at the economy and politics. Now they get a hold of the security. It's a hybrid war, and you bastards, madmen, want me to protect you from migrants, among other things.
Вы это устроили? Получите. Janusz Onyszkiewicz, a couple of questions on the back of that. First of all, the use of this term hybrid war, which we've heard from both sides. We heard it from NATO, we heard it from the Polish government, and we're hearing it from Alexander Lukashenko. Is that the right word to describe what's going on?
Well, I think it is absolutely right. I think that this is simply quite well squaring with... the doctrine which Russians developed some time ago, which simply says that basically the future war will not be waged by big military units. It will be done in an entirely different way. And without the use of military force, one can destabilize the country to such an effect that the country will be totally at the mercy of the other power, and the military use will be just at the very end and probably quite very often unnecessary. But in Poland, what worries us is kind of a danger that there could be a local escalation, some provocation, which may really result in a local clash, which then could be exploited in all sorts of ways, especially by Soviet and Belarus propaganda. But returning to the reaction of European Union, I think that the trouble we in the opposition, I'm from the opposition, we are at present, is that the gesture is now very strongly used by Polish propaganda to say that Polish position in the European Union is not as bad as it is very often claimed by the opposition, that Polish position in the European Union got stronger even by because of this reaction, and because of that, you know, there is not nothing to worry about.
But let me ask you. Let me just ask you about this. Let me just ask you. You said a local clash. What did you mean by a local clash that could result in an escalation?
Well, if you have troops on both sides of the border, if you have, for example, Belarus soldiers firing at our soldiers, not just to kill them, but just as kind of a warning, then easily situation can get out of hand. And then, you know, there could be sort of a real blood on one or the other side, not on a major scale, but that's something which absolutely should be avoided. I think that this kind of clash would be very much, to Lukashenko's liking and also to Putin liking.
Let me bring in Gulliver Cragg on this. First of all, listening there to Janusz Onyszkiewicz, do you have the sense that Poland feels destabilized? And we heard a bit of audio in one of the handouts there were some warning shots fired. Is there the chance of this scenario that he's describing?
Well, I mean, given the way the popularity of the ruling party is increasing and so on, and that Poland is so far really not letting very many of these migrants through, then one might think that Poland can stay the course. It's going to get extremely cold. Perhaps they'll stop coming. Perhaps those that have not managed to cross into Poland will find their way back to Minsk, and then they may end up sleeping on the streets of Minsk. There have already been numerous migrants sleeping on the streets of Minsk. Lukashenko absolutely doesn't want thousands of migrants on his hands in Belarus, and that's why I think the situation is really, really very dangerous, because something's got to give. And you've got to think that either there'll be pressure on Poland to take a more humanitarian attitude, perhaps because many more migrants die and it really becomes too awful to bear, and therefore Poland will start to take them in, consider their applications, and perhaps deport most of them, but at least back to Iraq or Syria and not back to the forest where they could die of cold. That's one possible quite extreme scenario. The other possible quite extreme scenario, if Poland refuses to do that, is indeed that Belarus will really start trying to use more force in one way or another, because I just think that Lukashenko is obviously going to want to do whatever he can to avoid a situation where he ends up with these thousands of migrants actually on his plate in Belarus.
Viola von Kramon-Taubadel, EU ambassadors meeting in Brussels this Wednesday. They discuss they contemplated new sanctions. They say they've agreed to them. Is that the way to go? New sanctions against Lukashenko?
I think this is definitely important, and it needs to be much tougher and decisive, and it needs to include a bigger group of targeted sanctions against individuals in Belarus, as well as against air companies and those companies who lease, for example, the airplanes to Lukashenko and to his state agencies, who invites and who brings the people to Minsk. This would be, of course, of utmost importance. There are a couple of other things in different sectors and different industries which were exempted so far from the fourth sanctions package. I hope they will be included. Sometimes it is up to the member states, and they kind of lobbying for one or the other industry to get them exempted, for example, potash or parts also from the nitrogen sector, bitumen and other more, let's say, strategic sectors. That is very unfortunate. and I hope we find an agreement. But I would like to come back to one more question you have debated. We have heard, for example, there was a survey in Poland whether the Polish government should help the people in need and the refugees, the migrants on the border, and 82% were actually in favor of this. Only 13% were against, and 5% didn't have an opinion on this. So I think we should also put into consideration that the public opinion is not generally against people in need, against people on the border. And I hope we will find a European approach where not just Frontex is kind of invited and being active there and looks for scrutiny and transparency, but also EASO, the European Asylum Organization from Malta, because we have to find solution which also put the focus on the humanitarian aspect. I'm very much in line with everything what was said when it comes to tougher sanctions, also having a focus on the Kremlin and what Putin's role is in this game, no question. We have to work on this countries of origin, where the migrants come from. We were pretty successful in Iraq so far. I hope we can reach out to Turkey and also to other countries. But nevertheless, we should also take care of the people, and we should consider that,
so,
I would say, the majority of the people, if we do not just show these pictures and use these military rhetorics, I think we will find places and we will find enough people who show empathy and who would be ready to take care of the people who ask for asylum in the European Union.
Viola von Kramon-Tabadel, you mentioned Moscow's role. We saw the Belarus foreign minister welcomed to the Kremlin this Wednesday. His Russian counterpart, who one day ago denounced Western sanctions and goaded the EU over its practice, its longstanding practice of paying Turkey and Libya to keep migrants away from the border.
Unfortunately, a case which, of course, is used by Russia. And I know that Russia is actually envy towards Turkey and Erdogan, that he has this leverage and he can put pressure on the European Union. But we don't think we should duplicate this mistake once again. So we should include Moscow in the sanctions regime instead of paying them to keep away those people in need. So this would be the right reaction and not the opposite. But as I said, on the humanitarian side, we should welcome the people and give them a proper accommodation and find ways to integrate them. But on the political side and geopolitical side, we should be much tougher on Lukashenko and also on the Kremlin. And the last military planes which were shuttling around through the Belarusian airspace today is absolutely not acceptable. And we really should think twice how we can readjust the relation towards Russia, and maybe even a kick off the SWIFT system would be an answer to this, because what Russia does to the European Union in general, to how to destabilize individual member states, how to use disinformation and propaganda, and especially to some of the member states, this is absolutely not acceptable at all.
Let me bring in Jakub Nik on this point. Russia's role in all of this, I mean, is this Lukashenko's doing, or is he his own man, or is Moscow pulling the strings?
Well, Lukashenko clearly has the drive to do something like that, but he wouldn't do something like that without Moscow's backing. That is quite clear. And we have heard Lavrov and the foreign minister basically giving support. And I think that what this has done, I mean, the last few years, has its origin in Belarusian domestic politics. Lukashenko, as a dictator who was losing the election, decided to crack down internally. And by that, he meant that the only way for Belarus was back into the Russian fold. He's now totally dependent on Moscow and therefore becomes a tool also of Moscow in its fight or its confrontation with the European Union. You want to show the European Union is hypocritical, or they talk about humanitarian principle? Look at them, how they're treating refugees. So it serves many purposes. You want to destabilize the country. You want to show the EU is ineffective. You can try to do that. What it does in the long run to the relationship between EU and Russia, that's another question, because they are drifting apart.
Top French officials due to speak with top Russian officials later in the week. And we also heard the German chancellery. I know it's an outgoing chancellor. She's a lame duck chancellor. This Wednesday, call on Moscow to act. Is France and Germany the ones that can sort this out, or is it...
Well, clearly, they understand that the answer is in Moscow and that, therefore, you have to establish some kind of dialogue with Russia to get this crisis fixed, just as you had to deal with Erdogan in Turkey to get the migrant crisis fixed in Turkey. It's not on the same scale and it's not exactly the same situation, but you have to deal with authoritarian regimes to solve a migrant crisis. Migrant demography, the population moves, have become part of international politics, and they destabilize internal domestic politics in our democracies. Look at the political agendas in most European countries. From Italy all the way to France, migration issue is not far from the agenda.
Janusz Oniszkiewicz, throughout this discussion, you've been flagging the security concerns of an escalation. Is the European Union coming out weaker or stronger from all of this if it does escalate? After all, it's not to the EU that will be turning in that case. It'll be to NATO.
Well, I think that NATO, obviously, political support from NATO is important, but I don't think that NATO should be militarily somehow involved, because that would really be very much in line of Russian propaganda that NATO is getting closer to Russia, that NATO is somehow encircling Russia, and would give another good reason to establish permanent military presence in Belarus, which incidentally could not be only for the purpose of having some kind of a balance and showing strong hand, but would also be kind of an additional leverage over Ukraine, because Ukraine so far has border with Russia, and obviously this is a border which brings certain concerns to military planners in Ukraine. But if there will be also another border which should be taken into consideration with Belarus, that would change the picture altogether. So I think that NATO should obviously be present, but not as a military power, but rather as a political factor.
All right. It's not too late for dialogue. Janusz Oniszkiewicz, I want to thank you so much for joining us from Warsaw. Gulliver Cragg, good luck getting back to the Polish capital.
There's another train in 10 minutes. I'm sure it will be fine.
All right, good stuff. And Viola von Kramenthal-Bedell in Brussels, Jacques Rupnik, thank you for being with us here in the France 24 debate.